Kids are crazy, aren't they? Especially Nolan with that python. Maria, I feel bad and sorry for you. I don't know. So, Russ, all you do is lecture, huh? Mother's a hammer, I guess, huh? Kids are funny, aren't they? You know, life changes a lot when you have more than one child. You know, when you have the first child, when they begin to cry, the first sign of a little whimper or something, that first child, you pick it up and coddle it. You know, even if they make a frown or something, you, oh, are you okay, like that? You know, the second child, you know, you pick them up because you don't want them waking up your firstborn, you know, that second one, because, oh, now we're in trouble, you know. Then the third child comes along. By then, you're pretty old head at the crying, and so you just taught that first child how to crank up the swing to keep them rocking, you know, like no attention at all. Sometimes you even change the way you function in your home. You know, when you first think about a child swallowing a coin, and how many of you have ever had a child swallow a coin? Yeah. So the first child that swallows a coin, you take him to the hospital. I demand an x-ray. I want to see exactly where this coin's at, you know, and so everything kind of works its way out, you know. And second kid comes along, swallows that coin, and it's not to the hospital. That's a bill you can't pay, you know. So you're going, okay, well, I'll just watch carefully. Boy, is that fun, and make sure the coin comes through. The third child swallows the coin, and you deduct it from their allowance. Yeah. That's the way that goes, right? You know, it's fun raising kids. They can be a trying time at times, but really aren't kids fun? They kind of make life fun around the house. They'll do something that you'll witness, and you just kind of look over at them, and there's kind of a lifetime moment to enjoy what that kid is doing. And yet, what I'm going to talk to you today about is not really very exciting. It's about rearing your children, about discipline. I told my twin brother I was going to talk about discipline. He goes, wow, that's a landmine. You're going to love that, you know, because nobody likes to talk about discipline. And yet, it's a very formal part of all of our lives. You see, when God calls you to be His child, He's determined to make you look like Him, to act like Him, to be like Him. And so guess what He does? He disciplines you, doesn't He? He brings you back into His way. He wants to make you holy. And so it's a lifetime process. And so what does God do? God disciplines you. Yep, that's right. How many of y'all have been disciplined by God? All of us. Some of us raising hands all the time. I'm always in the woodshed like that. You know, God's always after me. And that's true. And God's word for discipline many times comes out like training. Sometimes in the scriptures it talks about the Father training His children. Training in righteousness, or God trains His children. In this passage that we read in Hebrews, it talks all about God's loving discipline because you are His legitimate children. You're His child. And so He wants you to have right character. Not just that you behave right. Sometimes kids can behave right, but their character's bad on the inside. See, behavior just reflects what's going on the inside. And so if there's a lot of misbehaving, it means that something's wrong down inside. You dig? And so here's a big problem that's going on there, so God wants to fix that. And so He disciplines His child. And God disciplines every one of His children. God's correcting you for your own good. And since you're His child, He's not going to allow you to continue to misrepresent Him in sinful behavior. My children don't act like that, God says. You've probably said that to your kids. You say, in this family, we don't do that. Well, everybody else is doing it. No, not in this family, because we're, and then you say your last name, and our family doesn't do that. That's what God is. God says, you don't do that. You're in my family. And God corrects us. And so He brings that judgment to us. It means that He will do whatever is necessary to help you to follow Him. As a matter of fact, God may correct you in three ways. God may take away your power. God may take away your possessions, and He may even take away your pleasure. He may make your life so confusing and upside down and miserable that you'll say, God, I need to come back to You. So God disciplines us. There's a story that's told in the book of John chapter 5, and Jesus has just healed a lame man. That lame man finds himself in the temple, and Jesus finds him there. This is a little bit after the story. And Jesus looks at him, and he says these words to him. See, you're well again. In other words, wow, aren't you glad? 38 years of being lame, you're well again. Then listen to what Jesus said. He said, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. Wow. What could be worse than 38 years of being lame? God's discipline, that's what. God may discipline you, and he may take you to a woodshed, and it may be tough. So this morning, we're going to talk about discipline. You might go, time out, Pastor Keith. I thought we were talking about kids' discipline. Well, unless you understand how God disciplines you, you probably will not understand how to discipline your children correctly. So God teaches us that lesson first. Now, when you think about it, there's basically two types of children in God's family. And these notes are in your bulletin, by the way. Which one are you? Are you submissive or are you strong-willed? Submissive or strong-willed? Some children are compliant to the hilt, aren't they? I mean, they eat their vegetables. They don't scream at bedtime. They don't touch the breakable stuff around the house. They don't hit the dog. They hold the cat and pet the cat the right direction instead of the wrong direction, you know. They smile. They do what mom and dad ask. And all without a lot of questions. And some of you are thinking, I got three kids. I'm still waiting for that one, right? Because all the other children are just parents' ability to be humbled by God sometimes, I guess. And when you think about it, isn't that kind of the stretchy part of life? Isn't that kind of the exciting part of life? Is confining all of this energy that is kind of going the wrong direction and put it in the right direction and see what God can do with it. It'd be absolutely amazing if you could channel all that in a positive way. Well, let me give you some straight talk about disciplining and disciplining children. And who knows if maybe it might hit you too. God might be working on you more than he's working on your children. There's some very important scriptures that I want to look through this morning, three of them in part. The first one's Proverbs 13:24. It says this, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Another verse speaks to the same principle. It says this, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. We spoke about that briefly just a few weeks ago, didn't we? It's one of the most unfortunate things to see a kid running amok. And what? Where's his mother at? That's what we're thinking. It's a disgrace. Then Proverbs 22:15. Folly is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. So you've heard a word that kind of seems to resonate throughout all three of these verses. It's the word, the rod. It's an effective tool for making children grow up biblically, spiritually, and even emotionally healthy. Nothing works like the rod. Would you all say the rod? The rod. How many of y'all had the rod when you were kids? That's right. But what does the rod refer to? That's the question of the hour. What exactly is meant by this word? Okay, thanks. Okay. Hey, Rick, let me do the talking, okay? And so what does the rod mean? As we think about this word, many times we think about it's used for physical punishment, kind of like to give you a spanking, isn't it? Or an arch over or some kind of a physical kind of penalty that's coming. But that's not exactly what the Bible refers to in the whole picture. In the Old Testament, the word rod simply means one of two things. The first one, it might be used as correction or judgment. On the other hand, it might need protection or comfort. And so these two instances kind of encapsulate this thought of the rod. For instance, it was the rod of God that God used to comfort David in Psalm 23. You remember that passage? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod gives direction. You see how that happens? It keeps from injustice happening in the hands of an enemy. In Psalm 2, in Psalm 89, David refers to this rod as that which is a protection, of abuse that comes toward him. So it is that which uses for protection. And it's not as strong, but it's interesting that the fact that the word rod is also used as a picture of authority in the Old Testament. Do you remember that God gave to Moses and to Aaron a rod? That's interesting, isn't it? That Moses stretched out that rod over top of the Red Sea, and what happened? Well, it divided hither and thither. It was a picture of God's authority. And when God gives you this rod, this ability to correction, it is a rod of authority that God has given to you, and it is not to be misused. It is one that God gives you to demonstrate His love as He corrected you. Now, in the New Testament, it's a little bit different. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's found six times in the New Testament. Four of them are about judgment, how the rod of judgment is coming upon you. One time deals with authority, and the other is kind of a simile for comparison purposes, the rod comparison to freedom and so forth. In fact, the New Testament more commonly uses positive words such as nurture or train, discipline, admonition. So more of a verbal kind of a situation of encouraging and also correcting in a verbal way when he's talking about parent-child relationships. So what do you make of all this? When you come down to the rod and thinking about all that that's entailed, what does it really mean? Well, I have it pulled out in a kind of a encapsulated form, and here's the way that I think that it really is best understood. The rod is the role of the parent to exercise his or her biblical authority for the express purpose of correcting or protecting their children, right? So this rod is the verbal and biblical symbol. It's kind of a word picture of all those elements that are summarized. Once again, the rod is the role of the parent to exercise his or her biblical authority for the express purpose of correcting or protecting their children. To be sure, a parent may use the rod and spank when appropriate. Now, when I said that, boy, our culture, their hair kind of went up, didn't they? Because they don't like talking about spanking a child. They're talking about abuse and all that kind of things. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. I think that what we need to do is to think about how this world has been turning out children the last decade or so and wonder, is that what we really want? Maybe God's Word has a better understanding and a handle on how to raise children. Just give God's Word a chance to understand about how to discipline children. And so, to correct and protect, that's the essential meaning of this discipline that is pictured in this thought of the rod. And when we discipline our children, we at times correct them through perhaps verbal rebuke, kind of loss of a blessing or loss of privileges. A loss of a blessing might be, really? We don't act like that in this household. Feel like that? It's kind of a rebuke. You know better than that. You're part of this family, all right? Or it might be a loss of privileges. Now, I told you we weren't supposed to do that. Now, what was the result? Well, I lost my technology, what would be a Game Boy or something like that, for an hour. Well, that's what's happening. You see, a loss of privileges are involved in that. Sometimes those are a lot more effective than other areas. And so you look at your child and see what is held precious to them, and that might be the thing that you take away to get their attention. Even a spanking. And when you spank a child, it should never be done all the time, just in rare kind of situations. Now, let me speak very importantly on this verse of child discipline. And once again, Proverbs 13:24. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. In the King James, it uses a very archaic word, betimes is what the word says. It means at an appropriate time. Now, in our 21st century postmodern culture, it's not a popular thought to think about spanking or using this rod of correction. But actually, the Bible says that it's more than just spoiling a child. It actually means that you hate the child. What it means in its real understanding of the word is that you're treating him as an enemy. And so here's this child. He's not being disciplined, and you're treating him as an enemy. Why? Because he will grow up in rebellion, and he will be opposite of you. So there's that confrontational kind of situation. Now, I've always thought about this. Here I'm 61 years old, And isn't it crazy that about the time you get good at things that it's already past? My kids are way grown up. Kid will be 38 tomorrow. Now, my grandkids, that's a different story. And sometimes, especially in this culture that we live in, a lot of us as grandparents, raise your hands, we get the opportunity to help raise not just our children, but even our grandchildren. And you are probably better now than you were when you were raising your children. And so we had that wonderful opportunity. So this morning, let me give you five practical guidelines for applying biblical discipline to your children or even to your grandchildren. So the first one is simply this. Never punish your child in anger. Never punish your child in anger. There is no excuse for abuse. And a parent who abuses their children deserves the retribution to the full extent of the law. This is way out of control in our culture. Children should not be abused. And abuse happens most of the time when parents have lost their temper. They get past the point of being in control, and they lose everything, and they beat, and they clear the clock with everything in the room, and sometimes children are there. Lovingly discipline them in a calm way and in a measured fashion, never out of control. In Proverbs 13:28, the word careful speaks of timing. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but one who loves their children is careful to discipline them in the right way, in the right tone, that's fitting to the discipline that is given to them. It's a bad time to punish your child when you're mad. It's bad to punish your children in front of their peers. You're belittling them in that case. That is something that is to be done in a proper time, in a proper place. It should be done in private after you've had a chance to calm down. Physicians have a saying. Physicians say that when a patient is having a heart attack, the first pulse that you take is your own. Why do they say that? It means that unless they're calm, they won't be able to help the person that they're serving. That's true in child rearing too. You have to calm down. You have to be in control of the situation. Secondly, don't make idle threats. The worst thing to do is to threaten your child with punishment and then not deliver on the promise. So you warn a kid, don't be crossing the street. If they cross the street, you might get hit by a car, right? So do you understand that? Yes. And so then you look through the picture window, and there's your kid on the other side of the street. Are you kidding me? So you run across the street, you grab little Johnny by the arm, you start dragging him. I won't discipline you this time. I'll let you go. But next time, I'm really going to spank you if you do that. Wow, that's a dangerous thing to do. To promise them something and then not deliver. It's not just, you know, a wrong thing. It's a dangerous thing. How many times have you heard about kids that were hit out in the street? It's a very viable thing for a parent to be in control of your children and say, don't do that. And can you imagine the sorrow that you'd have if you had a child that was killed on a street just simply because they weren't obedient? It is part of your job that God gives to you to keep your children safe. And so the laws that you lay down in your home, they must be reinforced by the way that you follow through with your discipline. And so don't make idle threats. That behavior will create a belief that your child, that they can really disobey. They don't have to go by the rules. They don't have to face any consequences. That's a very, very dangerous thing. Another thing. Don't threaten to spank your kids for everything. I mean, I am not advocating. If you come out of here going, well, Pastor Keith said to spank your kids every time you turn around, that's not what I'm saying at all. Spanking should be reserved for the most serious acts of willful disobedience and attitudes of rebellion. If you threaten to spank your kids for every little mistake, your kid is going to grow up fearing the consequences of just trivial mistakes. He won't ever venture out. He'll just be afraid to even move. Because kids make mistakes. I love going to dinner with parents who have kids. And a little kid takes a drink. And what do? They set it right there on the corner. You know, and the moms are always like pushing it right back to the middle. Kid takes another drink and it's right there, you know. And moms are always pushing. And you know what? It's eventually going to happen. Milk's going to spill. What's the saying? Don't cry over spilled milk. Kids are going to do things like that. But if a kid gets up there and goes, I didn't mean to do that, that's a different thing, isn't it? If a kid willfully, in rebellion, says, what you going to do about it? James Dobson puts it this way. He goes, if you tell a kid not to step over this line, and he sticks his big little hairy toe right over that line, that's a fight that you better not lose. When a kid is in total rebellion, that is a time when you come through with the promises of what you make. Do not make idle promises. Follow through with us. A few years ago, Ann Landers offered a newspaper column entitled, How to Be a Stupid Parent. She wrote, let your kids get away with anything until you get fed up, then lose your temper, holler, scream, go wild and clobber them. If they turn out well, it won't be because of you. That will be a miracle from God. That's true, isn't it? Do not make idle promises. 3, talk before and after the punishment. This is a crucial principle in raising children. Before any punishment is inflicted, the rules of correction need to be clearly communicated to your child. Tell them what the rules are, explain why you have these rules, then tell them what the punishment will be if the rule is violated. So you have a kid, he comes walking in after school, he's a middle school kid, throws his stuff on the couch. You say, stop that, I don't want you just throwing your stuff on the couch. Pick your stuff up. Now tomorrow when you come in, if you throw your stuff on the couch, there's going to be trouble. What should you do? If you let a kid pick his judgment, he'll hang himself. He is the worst thing in the world. You know, you might ought to throttle that back a little bit, Say, okay, well, you don't get to play on your Game Boy tonight, all right? So they come in the next day, what are they going to do? Throw it right there on the couch. You know what? They didn't hear it. What you need to do is go, now, what did mom say? Well, I don't know. What did you just say? You just heard me go off on you, right? I said don't throw your things on the couch. Now, what did mom say? Mom said don't throw your things on the couch. And what's going to happen if you throw your stuff on the couch? I don't know what goes on. And you go, you lose your Game Boy all evening. You understand that? Now, what did mom say? Well, if I throw my stuff on the couch, I lose my Game Boy. And the next day they come in, they throw their stuff on the couch. Guess what happens? They know. What do we say? Well, I lost my Game Boy. Okay, now pick up your stuff, put it back where it's supposed to be, and you don't play on your Game Boy all night. They won't complain because you have given out clearly the discipline kind of responses of what's going to happen with that. That's the way to discipline. If you get hollering and screaming and get mad at your kids and they have never been told, that's on you. You haven't given them the clear instructions of what's going on. Now, when they violate that, well, then now that's different, all right? So before and after the punishment come clean with that. And when your child deliberately violates the rules, and they will, right, that's the time to inflict the punishment. You know, God does that with us as his children. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus said, those I love, I rebuke. I'm talking to you. Don't be doing this. And then guess what? And disciplines. So like parents, God not only disciplines those he loves, but he also has 2 steps. He first gives the warning, and then he gives the consequences of that reward. And so that's what we're doing. So talk before and after the punishment. 4, praise more than you punish. It's more important to give your children positive encouragement than punitive discipline. Punishment discourages bad behavior. That's true, isn't it? That's important. Hit that next slide for me, please. Punishment discourages bad behavior. That's the goal of what we're trying to do, isn't it? But positive praise is to encourage behavior. So it's not just about stopping something. It's about really starting something. And you need to encourage, give them a lot of affirmation. You will embitter your children if you're constantly just picking on their weaknesses. Why are you always doing that? Why can't you stop that? Well, you're going to be the worst. And the very worst thing to ever say to your children, I wish you were never born. We should have never had you. That is a terrible thing to say to a child. It destroys their self-worth. Give your children 10 times more compliments than complaints. and make sure that they have 100 times more hugs and positive reflections that you give to them. And then let me look at fifthly, never use your hands to discipline your child. No, I missed one. Okay. The fourth, yeah, praise before you punish. And then also the fifth one, never use your hands to punish your children. Never use your hands to punish your children. There we go. We're together now. Now think about this. When a shepherd uses his rod, and that's kind of the format that David is talking about in this rod judgment kind of situation, a shepherd uses his rod to direct the sheep to protect them from harm, doesn't he? And by teaching your child the difference between right and wrong, you're actually protecting them from the dangers that they'll face in the world. You're telling them about the way life really works. Now, you tell the truth. Why do you tell the truth? It's not just the right thing to do. It's because it is the best avenue to walk in your life. If you're known as a liar, nobody will ever trust you. You'll never get the right job. You see how it gives the benefits. It's protecting them from the things that destroy their life. And so God instructs the parents to use a rod for a very important reason. The rod is kind of like an object. It's an object of authority. The rod is used as an extension of your authority that God has given to you, and it's not tied to you as a person in a sense. Let me explain it this way. You should use your hands to caress and to love and to, you know, encourage them and put your hand on the back, way to go, son, and so forth like that. The way that your child is used to getting that kind of praise. And you don't want your children growing up to fear you because you're using this hand always as an instrument of judgment. You know, what's tempting is that a kid gets out of control and the temptation of a parent is to reach over and slap that child, especially if they got a mouth. How many of y'all have kids that have a mouth on them, right? Oh my goodness, they got a mouth on them. And the tendency is to reach over and slap them. That's a dangerous way to begin to discipline your children because you're connecting the authority to you as an individual instead of to God. You ought to use an instrument, a rod. In this sense, spanking might be the appropriate thing. But don't use your hands. It's never appropriate for a parent to use their fist. I've heard of men going, well, I showed my teenage son who was the man of this household, and I beat him up real good. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be out of control in your own as an adult. Well, he had it coming. You know, you need to be more in control of the situation than letting your child be in control of the situation. And it is never right to use your hand or your fist to discipline your child. Once again, the word rod was used to describe a shepherd guiding his sheep. The sheep rarely use the rod. The shepherd rarely used the rod to beat the sheep. Instead, it was a firm reminder on the hind corners. You know, God gave you a place, didn't he, to correct you that didn't hurt, but it gave you guidance to bring that sheep back into line. And the sheep came to fear the rod, but not the shepherd. That was a crucial phrase to put out. God wants you to be loved, but he wants your position as authority to be feared. And so a lamb would wander off out of his reach, and the shepherd would toss the stick in front of the lamb, and the lamb would scurry back to the flock, bring them back. And when God disciplines us, he doesn't do it to get even with us. God doesn't give you a pound of judgment for a pound of disobedience. Boy, aren't you glad God doesn't do that? We'd be a little pile of ashes, wouldn't we? God would smoke us good but God disciplines us. You know better than that. He makes things difficult until you get it right. Brings us back into line. There's a wonderful lesson here for parents. You know, it's no fun to use the rod to punish children. It's difficult. I don't like doing it. I'm not a confrontational person. But the Bible says that it is an important part of directing your children. They need to see this authority that says, this is not the way it's going to be accepted in this home. So let me give you, before we leave, in just a few minutes that we have together, some real positive results from biblical discipline. The first one is simply this. Biblical discipline is a lesson in love. Our primary text, when it talks about parents sparing the rod, that they hate their son, The word hate actually means to be considered as an enemy. We talked about that, didn't we? But the second half of the verse says this, but he who loves his son is careful to discipline him. Once again, timely. Think about the things that will make the most impact in this discipline. So it demonstrates the love. We love our children enough that we don't allow them to act like this. So because we love them, we discipline them. If we don't love them, we're making them into an enemy. The second principle, biblical discipline roots out rebellion. This is the most important part about the benefits of discipline. The word of God says that we are born with a rebellious nature. Proverbs 22:15 says, a youngster's heart is filled with rebellion, but punishment will drive it far from him. That's a very important scripture. Rebellion is part of all of our nature. And until we come to grips with who's boss in our lives, we will be the boss of our lives, and we will disintegrate around ourselves. We will destroy ourselves. We all have the capability of doing horrendous kind of things outside the control of God. And so God controls this about rebellion by discipline. Now, I hear some parents argue with me, and they say, well, I don't want to spank my child. They're kind of like a little rose, and I don't want them to bust their blossoms or something like that, you know. But what's really going to happen is that little rose is not going to grow up to be a rose. It's going to grow up to be a thistle. And yeah, there'll be flowers on that, but it's going to be prickly, and it's going to be a tough way to go. Matter of fact, if I've been to your house, I don't think I've ever seen a jar of thistles in a vase, have I? But that's what's going to happen if you don't correct the rebellion that is there in that child. Sadly, there are a lot of adults who grow up with this rebellion that have never been corrected. And they live their life like a bunch of children. And you might not believe me, but if you ever go to a Little League baseball game in the spring, you're going to see parents like this. You ever been to one of those games? Parents, you know, grabbing and griping at the coach, put my kid in, you know, and all that. And then they're hollering at the umpire. The umpire's just a teenager. They're doing their best, you know. Does it really matter? You understand what I'm saying? Or even escalates that, it gets into the stands, and one parent said another parent, and they're there fighting. Like, really? A bunch of kids acting this way? That rebellion is in all of us, and especially in grown adults who have never learned that they should not be rebellious. Please listen to me. Most kids only need just a few spankings, 4 or 5 maybe, to get the point. They get it pretty quick. And especially the earlier the better, I mentioned that. If you discipline early, you probably won't have to discipline much late. But if you don't discipline at all, your discipline's going to happen in the form of tickets or bailing kids out of jail, and so it's going to be a lot more horrific. You can choose your times, but it's going to happen one way or another because rebellion is in everyone's heart. Now, some of us needed more spankings than others. How many of when you were kids you got spankings? Did you need them? Yeah. How many of y'all needed a few more than what you got? Yeah, that's me. My wife only got one spanking when she was a kid. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? What? I asked her dad about it, and she said she didn't need much. The one time I did spank her, he just barely swatted her, and you'd thought that the whole world came apart. Like she was like, some kids, their nature is to break real easy. Other kids, you have to really keep up at them, and they can be trying, and they can be difficult, and you'll think you'll never bust through that rebellion. But you must break a rebellious spirit without breaking the will of the child. You have to communicate that. You have to tell them why you're getting this, and this is what happens. And it will continue to happen until you get this right. Then give it to them, and then say, why did we do that? And then make them understand until you finally get through. Francis Xavier wrote this, give me children until they are 7, and anyone can have them after that. The way I describe it is I feel like that kids are like wet concrete. They harden quickly. You better do the maneuvering in them while their concrete is soft. Discipline early. Because once it's hard, it is busting up concrete to try to correct it. The third principle, Biblical discipline steers towards salvation. This is probably the most critical part of positive results of discipline with your children. When you teach your child that they are held accountable to you for their actions, you're also teaching them that they will be held accountable to a higher action one day, and that's God. Even before your children reach the age of accountability before God, they have an age of accountability to their parents first. Children, before they understand all the details about right and wrong, know what right and wrong is, and like I talked about, pouring the milk out and so forth, all right? The Bible says that if you punish your children when they are disobedient, that you're teaching them the reality of eternal punishment for rebelling against God. Let me show that verse to you. It's an incredible verse. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. Do not withhold punishment from a child. If you discipline him with the rod, he will not die. Boy, I thought I was going to when my dad got after me a few times, right? But punish him with the rod and save his soul from death. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Now, when I interpret the Bible, I interpret the Bible literally. And yet, I think there's a spiritual application in this. So there's two kind of applications. The first one might just be simply death. If you don't teach your kids about the rules and rights, let me put it this way. There's an epidemic of heroin death and chemical kind of death amongst our teenagers across America, and especially in St. Louis here. These are children who have never heard the word no and have not been disciplined, and so they do whatever they want, and they inflict great harm upon themselves, and many of them kill themselves prematurely. That is sad. It is terrible. God has given you the responsibility to protect your child's life. They must understand what the word no means and discipline them. Secondly, I think the spiritual application is this, that you'll save their spiritual soul from death, the second death. They'll understand how much it is to be accountable for their wrongdoing, and they'll understand that they need God. Now, parents, your children are only going to be with you for a few years, a few short years. How many of y'all have children that are under the age of 10? Would you raise your hand? I mean, you are going to blink. I'm telling you, blinking like that, and they're going to be graduating from high school. The rest of you that have kids over 10 or that are out of, is it quick or what? I mean, it happens fast. Enjoy your children. Share with them the purposes of life, because it doesn't happen for very long. Put dreams in their hearts. Talk to them about what they could be. Think of all the possibilities that you could be. And dream with them about how to make their life count for God. What do you think God wants you to do with you? And listen to them. It's fun. Those are the most incredible years of your life. And when it comes to discipline, I understand it is really easy to let it slide. No parents like the stress of discipline. You're already overloaded to the max. I mean, you got all the stuff going on at work and life and the bills. Hello, and the health and all these kind of things that are going on. Hello, I understand all that kind of thing. But it is so important that you discipline, because if you don't, the stress levels later are going to be terrible to pay. Love them enough to discipline them. Maybe I'm talking to a couple parents right now, and you got a lot of guilt. You're thinking, wow, I didn't do very good raising my kids. Let me help you with that. Nobody's a perfect parent. We aren't. People ask me, would you do things different? Absolutely I would. I would. I wish I could give anything to go back and make some changes, but I can't, all right? So don't fret about tomorrow. Take control of today and seize the opportunity to do the best for the future. In your grandchildren and so forth. And you might be thinking, I was a bad parent. Or maybe right now God's talking to you and you're not living the right way now. And you're living the way that you don't want your kids to turn out. Do you think they're going to turn out any different? They're not. They aren't. So now's the time for you to experience God's discipline and come back to Him. Say, God, you and me, we need to get on the same page together. And maybe, just maybe, all the struggles that are coming your way down your road in life is God's judgment saying, you need to get this right. And let me help you with a little thing. it's going to get worse before it gets better if you don't get right with God. If you're one of his kids, he is not going to continue to let you go that way and just do nothing about it. It's going to get worse. You'd be smart as a child to get right with God and come back to him. Am I right about that? That's right. Let's enjoy our children. Let's raise them to be what God wants them to be. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord, we want to raise families that don't just love each other, but that love you, that make an impact for this world. I'm praying, Lord, that every single family that's under the sound of my voice, that when they get to heaven, that all of their children are going to be there, all of their brothers and sisters are going to be there, all of their moms and dads, the whole family is going to be there. I'm praying, God, that all of them would know you as Savior. If there's one here today that doesn't know you, Lord, bring them into your family today. Help them to trust in you. And then, Lord, guide them to make a life that really works for your glory. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? The old world paints a lot different picture of what we talked about this morning, doesn't it? It really does. They talk about all the sin and you enjoy all the drinking and carousing and there's no piper to pay. I want to tell you this, that if there wasn't any heaven or if there wasn't any hell, the Christian life would be the best life to live. There really would. Do life God's way and you will benefit. It is the most wonderful life you'll ever have. It is the best life on planet Earth. And then eternity is even a hoot better, isn't it? If you're not in God's family this morning, I want to tell you how to get there. You don't have to. It's just like the family you got in. You're born into it. The Bible calls it a second birth. You come and you repent of your sins. You accept the sacrifice of Jesus dying on the cross for your sins. And he proved it by his resurrection, didn't he? And just ask him into your life. Say, God, I want to go your way. Give your heart, give your life to him. It will be the best decision you have ever made for you individually and for your family too. As we sing this morning, maybe you'd like to make that decision and ask God. Just come down to the altar. People will be here to pray with you. Maybe there's something you want to pray about that's going on in your family. Why don't you yield to God and let him have his way in your home? As we sing this morning, please come to him.
Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure.